Now, over the last few months, did you reach out to former friends in isolation, perhaps reminiscing about a lapsed relationship? There's really nothing like a crisis to make us want to pull our friendships closer. But in the cold light of day, as some of us emerge from isolation, you might be wondering, oh, why did I bother? After all, there might have been a reason your friendship didn't work out the first time. Have you found yourself picking up the phone or writing a lengthy email to a long-lost friend during isolation? Did it work out? Did you find yourself rekindling the friendship? Or have you actually found you've outgrown that relationship and no longer have time for that other person after lockdown ended? These are the things we need to contend with in the dynamic of human relationships. You can tell us what happened to you by texting 0418 226 576, 0418 226 576. Professor Yolanda Yetten is an ARC Laureate Fellow and Professor of Social Psychology at the University of Queensland. And Yolanda is one of the authors of a book called Together Apart, The Psychology of COVID-19. Yolanda, hello.
Hello, Michael.
Why is it, do you think, some of us feel that need to try and rekindle lost friendships during times of crisis or isolation?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess what has happened to all of us is that the routine that we normally have in our life has been severely disrupted by COVID. And all the habits that we have changed, right? Suddenly we feel that our lives are suddenly panning out in a very different way. And for many of us, socially at least, life has gotten a lot quieter. But also that means that it's a time to reflect on things and particularly the big issues in life, what really matters in life. Mm. And we often do that by thinking about where we're going, the future, how COVID has changed that, but also reflecting on the past and also on the people that we used to hang out with. And so there's, I think, a bit more thinking about former friends and lost friends. And so that may explain it at least partly.
You know, as I was thinking about this story with you today, it reminded me of what happens when people come to the ends of their lives and they're trying to make peace with decision making from the past, maybe remend bridges that were broken, estrangements that no longer matter. Is it akin to that?
Yeah, I guess that's a really good point. We know certainly from research that if people start to reflect on life, and particularly when they start to think about their own mortality, that it's really then about the big things. It's the existential angst that we may then experience that make us reflect on the meaning of life, what's really important and what's not. And so it puts things in perspective, and perhaps little irritations that you've had with friends and little squabbles, you may see them for what they are, so that they're not all that important in the bigger scheme of things. And this is particularly important, I think, in a time of a pandemic when, because we face such a massive threat collectively, we also have a heightened need for social support. Mm. And interestingly, too, the people that we would normally reach out for social support, that could be your neighbors, the people down the road, for a few weeks at least, they were the people that we couldn't see, or at least not see them in a normal way, where we would see them at our houses or in public places. And so what you then actually have is this heightened need for social support, but the paths through which we would normally do that, they're cut off. And also perhaps some friends that we want to reconnect with because, you know, they always understood us so well, apart perhaps from the little irritations we had with them. So all of that together is perhaps giving you a little bit of a mix why people start to focus on the big issues and also the lost friendships and see them as, the, you know, think perhaps more about the positives rather than and the negatives they experienced.
Well, the way you talk about it, Yolanda, it sounds like a very positive thing to come out of the pandemic, but I take it there are some downsides, which I outlined in our introduction today, and that is you may regret re-establishing connections.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it depends a bit. I guess it really depends on how good it was to reconnect with these people. And it may also be that you reconnected perhaps with a friend that you always used to have fun with and used to go out and party with. And suddenly you actually reach out to them because you want their social support, you really want their help, and they're not able to provide it. So there could be a mismatch in all sorts of other ways, but perhaps also your old friends may surprise you and be able to provide something that you really need at this crucial stage. So it's interesting too that perhaps by reconnecting with these old friends that you also learn something about them that you never really sort of saw about them before.
Yes, I think that's a really interesting point, because one of the reasons why we drift away is that perhaps at a past time, you might have been vulnerable and felt hurt by something that occurred in that relationship. But there's something so leveling about the pandemic in that we're all vulnerable about the same thing at the same time. So that produces a kind of level playing field when it comes to renegotiating.
Yeah, I guess that's absolutely true. And I guess because we're all in it together, because we're all affected, and we know that we're all affected, it also makes it perhaps a bit easier to pick up the phone and to sort of ask these old friends and you know, how they're doing, how they're coping with the lockdown. So you already have a very good reason to phone them. And of course, everyone likes it when someone phones and says, look, I want to know how you're doing, can I help in any way? So it also made the threshold to reach out to old friends a bit lower.
Yes.
And you had something to talk about, because this was something that we all wanted to talk about.
You're with Life Matters. I'm Michael McKenzie, and with me is Yolanda Yetten, who's an ARC Laureate Fellow and Professor of Social Psychology at the University of Queensland. And she's one of the authors of a book called Together Apart, The Psychology of COVID-19. Yolanda, in compiling the data and the sort of insights with your other authors for this e-book, which we'll give a link out to later, did you actually go to people for anecdotes and experiences?
No, not particularly for anecdotes, but we did quite a fair bit of research in Australia and overseas, and we focused in particularly on loneliness. And for instance, we did see that people were really very worried about the lockdown, and they were very concerned about becoming very lonely, and worried about how they could stay in touch with friends and family. So we saw quite strong effects on that.
And in compiling that research, did you find any one particular age group was most worried about isolation and loneliness?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because we thought it would be older adults, but interestingly, it was actually the 18 to 25 year olds who were very worried about what the lockdown would do to their social relationships, and expressed the strongest concern about becoming isolated and lonely. And that is something that we had not quite expected, because this is also the age group that is very good with social media and all sorts of other ways of connecting with others. So that was a bit of a surprise to us.
Well, that finding that surprised you, Yolanda, actually aligns with some of the data collected in the Australia Talks survey of late last year, earlier this year, which showed, again, surprisingly, that younger Australians tend to feel the most lonely most of the time, even before the pandemic struck.
Yeah, that's an interesting finding. I'm familiar with that. And those data actually sort of fit very nicely what we now observe during the lockdown. Absolutely.
Now, given, and while we're talking about this, given that younger people may be in some cases more at risk of feeling that isolation, do you think in today's modern communities they have the tools at their disposal to reach out in the way older Australians feel perhaps more comfortable with?
What do you mean by that?
Well, they may be trained in social media, but they may not be trained in picking up a phone and actually having a real conversation.
I'm not sure about that. I don't want to judge the younger generation necessarily, but it may well be that, and we find that quite a, well, we do find that in our research, that face-to-face contact and is actually doing a lot more for mental health than contacting via social media. But it is also the case that if you have a one-on-one chat via Zoom or that can do the same thing as a face-to-face chat. But it is, of course, the case that if you were to try to connect with people via Facebook or all sorts of other social media that is not really sort of giving you that deep connection with other people and yes, the opportunity to really have a good chat, that is certainly not going to help with loneliness.
Thank you for saying that, because I didn't want to sound like a crusty old codger who thinks that all young people are totally disconnected. That wasn't my intent at all. But there must be some behaviours around that. Otherwise, this finding of younger people feeling isolated wouldn't be prevalent. So that's me theorising, I guess. But let's talk about this rekindling. Let's say, for example, you reached out to a friend or an old relationship that you hadn't talked to maybe for years because you feel that sense of oneness again. You want to put old hurts away and just start afresh. What are some of the pros and cons now that things start to ease in terms of isolation? Should we continue? When do we know not to?
Yeah, I think, as I said, that for many of those who have actually reconnected with old friends, it really depends on how pleasurable that was and to what extent the other person really was sensitive to the needs of the immediate situation. So if you reconnected because you really felt lonely, well, is it the case that that other person provided that social support and that company that you were looking for? For others, it may be other things, right? They want to laugh together, do all sorts of things, you know. So actually, it may even be that what you actually were looking for in the old friend was something else than what they actually provided years back. And I guess it's about that, to what extent they met the expectation and sort of delivered on the expectation, that may actually predict the outcome. But I guess, again, because we find ourselves in a situation that is so new to many of us, it may well be that, and I hope that's the case, that for many people they found new dimensions to their old friends and very good ones, hopefully.
Oh, I hope so. That'd be great, because I mean, if you start from almost square one, that we had a friendship or a relationship and that's kind of waned and now we've started again but with a fresh approach, I mean, that has to be positive going forward, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I think it is an interesting one, because it also was an equalizer, you could say. Suddenly, the old friends that we hang out with and we have certain habits, you know, on Thursday, I meet up with my friend to go to the gym and do all of these things. So all of those habits were suddenly, well, gone. We had to rethink about how we were going to have a social life. And the only way to connect with others was indeed by picking up the phone or zooming in with them, and in that sense, the neighbor from down the road or doesn't have an advantage anymore over your lost friends in another city. In that sense, we had to connect with everyone in the same way, and it was in particularly also rethinking about, now that everything is different in terms of how we connect with others, well, who do I want to connect with? So that's an interesting one too, that people started to reflect on their social world and who they hang out with and who they want to hang out with.
Yeah, it's a fascinating time for reassessment, and it could yield some really positive outcomes if we tread carefully, I guess.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, yeah.
Yolanda, it's been great. Thank you so much for talking to us today on RN Life Matters.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
Professor Yolanda Yetten, ARC Laureate Fellow, Professor of Social Psychology at the University of Queensland. She's one of the authors of this book called Together Apart, The Psychology of COVID-19. As I mentioned, it's available as an e-book. It is free, and we will be posting a link online in today's show. Just look for RN Life Matters on the RN website.